Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. Today, Scav R. Kalo, owner of the Scav and Scout Chronicles on Facebook and handler of Service Dog Scout is with me. Scav, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I wanted to bring you on. We chat back and forth often on Facebook and support one another's pages. And I thought it would be nice to let people hear your voice and just talk a little bit about the Scav and Scout Chronicles.
Yeah, no doubt. It's hard to actually get a voice when you're talking back and forth in basically text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So tell me a little bit about your page.
I set it up basically because I've got a real thing to get the education out to people on service dogs, that and veteran suicide. Mm-hmm. We've lost too many guys with the whole, you've seen the 22. So I like to promote that, but like you, there's not enough guys out there that are going to get in front of, I want to say a camera, but it's not a camera, and, mm-hmm. and actually educate the community on service dogs using themselves.
Right.
So I figured, you know, what the heck, let's get up there and use a live example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the most useful tool we have is, as we were trained to lead by example, there's not enough information out there, enough valid information, enough accurate information about the Americans with Disabilities Act and the service dogs. And there's not a lot of understanding, but there's plenty of misunderstandings, misinformations, and stigma. And I think it's very important that we work as hard as we can to overcome that through positive education. You are an Army vet. You are an engineer. And one of the disabilities you suffered as a result of your service is hearing loss.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about how Scout, who is also a PTSD service dog, assists you with hearing loss.
That was one of my biggest reasons for getting him. My wife had called me one night and asked me where I was. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm home in bed. She said, well, the alarm's going off. We have a burglar alarm here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, what do you mean you're home in bed? I'm like, yeah, I'm laying up here in bed. And I guess downstairs, the alarm siren's screaming and I didn't hear it.
Mm.
So that became a big concern for us.
Absolutely.
So, you know, what else am I missing? Because, you know, I do a lot of lip reading. I've been doing a lot of lip reading for years and years. So we started researching other things. And between that and some medical issues and the PTSD, we decided with your guidance that, you know, a service dog was the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we trained Scout to alert me when not only the house alarm, but the fire alarms at work, gunshots, key elements in my life that I want to get away from. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. When we have a firearm test at work quite often, 21 times that day they set the fire alarm off. So 21 times we got up from my desk and walked almost 75 yards out the door. He sat, I gave him a treat, and wash, rinse, repeat. Mm-hmm. But he did his job.
And it turned into an excellent training opportunity for you to reinforce the training that he was to alert you and get you out of the building when the alarm went off.
Correct. And I mean, he'll walk up and he'll I call it nosing. He takes mm-hmm. his nose and he hits me as hard as he can to catch my attention because I can't hear. So, you know, once he's looking at me, he's like, come on, let's go. You know, and I usually have him tied into my riggers belt with his leash. So if I'm not going, he's pulling on me like, hey, we got to go.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm giggling because I'm imagining Skeeter. I guess you might identify it as nosing. I call it headbutting. How big is Scout?
He's 45 to 50 pounds, and he's probably a mid-sized dog, pit bull size.
So again, I'm laughing because Skeeter's twice his size. And so when Skeeter, quote-unquote, noses me, I call it being headbutted, and there is no ignoring it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, there's times that he's literally knocked me flat on my ass.
Yeah, if he hits me in the right leg, if it's below the knee, I'm not going to feel it. But anywhere else, I get his point.
Yeah. And that's another thing you trained him to do. You have no feeling in the lower half of your right leg.
Correct.
And if you're anything like me, I run into shit all the time. Scav alerts you when that happens.
Correct. Yes. I've pulled screwdrivers out of my leg, seashells out of my foot. That right leg is just all scarred up because I'm all constantly running in stuff. I can't feel it. Mm-hmm. And so that was his other job, is to alert me when I'm bleeding. And again, he'll, you know, nose me or whatever we want to call it and let me know that it's bleeding. And he'll keep everybody back except me and the medic or doctor that's working on, you know, in case there's a crowd, and we'll get the bleeding stopped.
That's awesome. So we talked a little bit before the show, and Scout is a Tadsaw dog.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about the program and using the program.
When I contacted Bart Sherwood, I was looking for a trainer to help me with the hearing, and unfortunately there was nobody in my area, but I'm in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. I had to travel to Pittsburgh to even do the Tadsaw training, which is almost an hour and a half, 2 hour drive, depending on traffic from where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Bart's a fantastic guy. His staff is fantastic. And we had to wait until Scout was just over a year old. They won't take any dogs that are any younger than a year, which is understandable. They want pretty much mature dogs that they don't want to burn them out.
Yeah.
So the training is pretty fierce. Basically, it's an extreme version of your CGC, your canine good citizenship test. We were constantly in malls in Pittsburgh. We were constantly in the city. So for people like us with PTSD, it was a nightmare. It was good for me. It was good for Scout because they're trying to get me to overcome things. They're trying to get Scout to teach me. So I'm learning right along with the dog. We actually got on city buses and rode around. It was a good learning experience. It really was. If anybody had the opportunity to go through something like that, I would strongly advise it. And, you know, I stand behind Tadsaw. They're a good outfit.
Yeah. I'm friends with Bart. We've had, we had a nice 3 hour long lunch while I was working on the book and stopped in San Antonio to interview him. And we've talked, several times a week since. And, one thing I really appreciate about the program is Bart Sherwood is not Tadsaw. He founded it. He's the director, but Tadsaw is essentially a collection of trainers throughout the nation who are part of the program and offer training and support to veterans with PTSD for their service dogs free of charge. And correct. We'll even go as far as to help you find a dog if need be. But they specialize in helping you train a dog that you may have already bonded with.
Right, and that was the thing with Scout. I had already ran him through the basic obedience, and he had already, you know, graduated to CGC from over in Ohio, mm-hmm. and then we started working on the hearing stuff. But when we met the trainer, if he wasn't Tad Saw worthy, so let's say, mm-hmm. they would have taken me to a shelter and found a dog that would have made a good PTSD dog.
Right, right.
So, and it would have been free of charge to me. And if I'm not mistaken, those trainers do this. It's all voluntary. That this is time and money out of their pockets. I don't think Bart pays them anything.
I'm honestly not real sure. I think he does pay them something, but that's Tad Saw's business.
Right.
But either way, it's cool that he came up with the idea to create a network of trainers, you know, in different areas in order to reach more veterans. But this is not the Tad Saw Appreciation Show. This is the right. Scav and Scout Appreciation Show. You and Scout do some really cool things. One of the ones that I think is kind of mind blowing is riding the bike.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, how did you train your dog to ride your motorcycle with you?
Baby steps, just like everything else we do with dogs. We put it in the driveway, and I put him on my lap, and we sat there, and we talked. And that's pretty much it for the first day. You know, mm-hmm. I talked to him and just chilled out. You know, it was something new for him, so I didn't want to freak him out. And we did that for a couple of days, and then a few days later, I started it. You know, which startled him a little bit, but you know, you comfort him, positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And then every day at 5-10 minutes, we would just let it run. And then a couple of days after that, I would just slowly coast down the driveway with, you know, first mm-hmm. gear or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, we'd go down my street and back and forth. Probably within 2 or 3 week period, we were riding to work, you know, which is only about a 40-mile-an-hour zone, but once he got comfortable with it, you know, we're riding to Virginia now, which is a 5-hour trip.
Wow.
So, yeah, he does real well. Awesome.
And are you a member of a motorcycle club, or I thought I saw?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Which, that's kind of cool. Is it a veterans motorcycle club, if I can ask?
It's veterans, first responders, police officers.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. How, when you ride up with Scout, how do they respond?
All my guys are really cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
They love him. They all know who he is. And, of course, you know, it's just like being in the military. We all got each other's back. Everybody's a brother. And if I'm freaking out or having a moment, they'll take care of me and the dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So you created the Scav and Scout Chronicles. How long ago?
I want to say it's been at least 2 years. I'd have mm-hmm. to get on and actually look, maybe a little bit longer than that.
So about the same length of time that I've had PTS Dog up.
Maybe.
In fact, I think you might have been one of my earliest followers.
I found you through the DVs.
Yeah, I kind of worked real subversively to get the word out about my page. I started writing posts and posting them to DV and to Disgruntled Vets. And actually Disgruntled Nevermore is who kind of picked up on my page and said, this guy won't stop posting, so let's get a hold of him and talk to him and see what he's all about. And it just kind of grew from there. They got me on Disgruntled Discussions, and then Bo from DV Radio contacted me, and they got me on to Barracks Talk. And you know, it was all It just all built from there.
Yeah, you just kind of steamrolled into the guy, which is fantastic.
Well, and it wasn't my intention to become the guy so much as it was, look, and you know this, I'm sure. When you're out working with Scout in public, going grocery shopping or running errands or whatever it is, you are surrounded, absolutely surrounded by complete lack of knowledge or a complete fullness of misinformation about service dogs. And I got to where, when Skeeter was about 5 years old, I got fed up. I really got fed up. I was so tired of people being so ignorant about service dogs. And I thought, well, I wonder if there are any books or anything out there that teach people about this, that share the law, that explain, you know, not all disabilities are visible. And I started looking. And there are plenty of books out there that guys wrote about me and my service dog. But nobody wrote a book about, look, this is what the whole PTSD service dog thing is all about. There's no owner's manual, for lack of a better term, about PTSD service dogs. There's no public awareness campaigns, nothing. And I was a journalist in the United States Navy for 15 years. And I thought, well, gee, I have the training. Why not write the book that I wish I had, you know?
Right.
And I just kind of started from there. And it really, you know, I put my training to work. I researched, I investigated, I made calls, I talked to people, and just started regurgitating the information that I learned. And I firmly believe, and I think you're with me on this, I firmly believe that education is the way to overcome the misinformation.
Oh, I 100% agree. And, you know, that's why I was right there pushing that information right with you. Every time you put up a post, you saw me just pushing it right out there for you, trying to get it out as much as I could, trying to promote you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And you know, we could all be out there and be complete asshats if we wanted to. And when somebody comes up to you and, can I pet your dog, or can I do this, or I wish I could take my dog out in the store, you know, we could snap and just be a complete douche.
Mm-hmm.
But why not hand them a card and say, mm-hmm, listen, here's the ADA website. This is the proper etiquette. Why not take that 5 minutes and teach them? And then they can go home and teach somebody else, or, you know, talk to that manager at the store and say, you actually have the right to tell that idiot over there with the dog, you know, in the shopping cart to get the hell out of my store.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the other thing too, stores. I was in Colorado and I went to the grocery store to grab a gallon of milk. The friends that I was staying with had asked if I'd bring back a gallon of milk, and of course, no problem. And I walk into the store, and this bottle blonde soccer mom looking lady with a name badge on says, excuse me, you can't bring that dog in there. And I said, he's my service dog, ma'am. She said, well, where's his vest? And she was, actually, let me say that again. She said, well, where's his vest? And, I was not polite. Let's put it that way.
Right.
I gave her the 1,000-yard stare and said, the Americans with Disabilities Act doesn't require a vest, ma'am. Why don't you look up federal law? Turned around and just walked away. I wasn't having it, you know. At that moment, I was thinking, you know, people need to, why isn't anybody teaching these grocery store chains how to respond to service dogs? Why isn't anybody sharing this information? How come it's not really easily findable? I mean, you don't even know what the Americans with Disabilities Act is until you need to use it to protect you because you've got a disability. And that just doesn't seem right. There needs to be more information and education out there, which is why I support pages like yours and mine, because we're trying to get the accurate information out there.
Right. And there's days, I know you get fed up and I get fed up, but, you know, that's why we support each other, you know.
Yeah.
I may take a day off and just be like, I've had enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My buddy Vincent, he runs Bailey's page. I sent him a text. Oh, it's been a couple weeks back. Watch the page for me for a few days. I've got to take a break. This is just driving me nuts. If not, I'm just going to snap and just kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You know, but, you know, I've got a good bunch of moderators at my back, as do you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just got to step back and take a break.
Because
the public, the stores, you and I are both fighting PTSD. We're mm-hmm. both running service dogs for a reason. And plus, now we're trying to educate the public and the people and the stores. It gets old real quick.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I have to step back and take a break because I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over and over again. And I am. I publish facts about the ADA and bust service dog myths. I think I'm in the third full cycle of going through, you know, the list of misconceptions about service dogs and correcting them with the law. And, mm-hmm. I get tired of writing the same thing over and over again. And I do try to change it up. I have a good admin team, a good moderator team, and I lean on them heavily, especially when I'm in the writing mood. So I let them handle the page so I can focus on whatever I'm putting down on paper. It's frustrating saying the same thing over and over again, hearing the same thing over and over again, and seeing the same misinformed, uninformed, ignorant misperceptions. I mean, there's some real crazy stuff out there, especially in the insular world of Facebook, that just drives me absolutely nuts.
Right. Oh my goodness. yeah, and I don't know where some of these people get this stuff, but you know, the people are starting to ask now. Mm-hmm. My friend Nikki, she was doing something, I don't remember, a craft show or a bazaar or a fair somewhere up there in Wisconsin. And she said, I got to ask you something about service dogs. I said, okay, what is it? She said, I don't know how to distinguish between fakes and real. Mm-hmm. She said, I know if they come through with the vest on that they're real. I said, not necessarily. I said, a real service dog doesn't have to have a vest on. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, you just made my life complete living hell. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what. Go to my page. The very top post is pinned there. It is a copy of the ADA law. I put it out there for everybody. It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
Quick reference. If you've got it on your phone, it's always there for a reason. Go read it. I said, and then if you got any questions, and it's like all day long. She was just like, well, what's this mean? What's it? I'll answer your questions all day long, but
mm-hmm.
You're right. It does get old, but we've got to do what we got to do. Just otherwise, our lives are going to be hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more about educating. And I think this conversation is going to take some interesting turns here in the next segment. You're listening to The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Who cares? Mary. On Main Street or Savile Row. It's what you wear from ear to ear, and not from head to toe. But you better wait come Halloween. Oh, 'cause I'm gonna be there. And the show's gonna be packed full of goodies. I can't wait. What songs do you wanna hear? You better get them in now before it's too late.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
And we're back with the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. You're listening to the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR. You can catch other veteran-made shows, such as Contraband, which airs on Saturday at 8 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. once a month. Host David Livy of SOSRA brings various entertainment guests on to talk about their life and where they got started in music and much, much more. So check out Contraband on DV Radio, WDBR, once a month at 8 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. on Saturdays. Look at the DV Radio website for more on when it airs. We're here with Scav R. Kalo, handler of Scout, the PTSD hearing and other various taskings service dog, and owner of the page The Scav and Scout Chronicles. And in the first segment of the show, we discussed, or began discussing, we began discussing ambassadorship. And that's a touchy subject with a lot of disabled handlers who use service dogs as part of the treatment or to assist them with their disabilities. What's your thoughts? Not everybody's cut out to be an ambassador for service dogs and awareness. What are your thoughts on that?
It can be tough. I mean, there's days that I really don't feel like dealing with it. But I got great support behind me. You know, I've got Scout. I've got my wife. My daughter's my secondary handler. She's been with me when we went through all the training, all the way from basics down to, you know, she went with me through most of the Tadsaw stuff. Mm-hmm. So they all keep me in line for the most part. So, you know, I've got that one person out there and they're just like really getting on my nerves. I can pretty much keep my cool and do the education over the anger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's not, I have to agree with you. Both my girlfriend and I are veterans. Both of us suffer from PTSD. I've used Skeeter for actively working almost 6 years now. And so how my PTSD affects me has changed drastically in those 6 years. It's not gone. It'll never go away. But because of the use of Skeeter and the experiences we've had together, I feel like I'm better able to deal with the things that cause stress that can lead to triggering events if I don't do something to waylay that trigger. Skeeter alerts me, hey, you're stressing out. It's, you know, this is not a situation that you may need to pursue. I listen to Skeeter, find a reason why I need to go in a different direction, focus on Skeeter, focus on my dog, and those stressors kind of start to go away.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend, Nevermore, she's learning that. She's learning to listen to Skeeter, but she still often suffers from triggering events. And it's interesting to see someone where I was when I began training Skeeter, beginning to understand what the change in Skeeter's life has created for me. And Skeeter will task for her. Skeeter will alert to her. And she's learning how to understand what he's telling her. So it's really cool to... It's cool. It's good. It's not. It's never good to watch your brother or sister going through a triggering event and having a meltdown when you know exactly what they're going through, you know?
Right.
But it is cool to see her starting to learn to listen to him. And we have a puppy now who we're going to begin training to become her PTSD service dog, Freya. And I'm excited to see what kind of growth and healing that gives to her.
Well, the good thing is you have Skeeter, and it'll be easier for the other dog to pick up on what Skeeter's laying down.
Yes and no. Skeeter's a grumpy old curmudgeon, and he doesn't want to be bothered with the puppy a lot. But she has started picking up on some of his methodology, deep pressure therapy, nudge alerts, you know, some of the things like that. She's picking up on just by watching him. But as far as him teaching her goes, Skeeter
maybe
doesn't like the puppy.
But you did bring up something about Skeeter, you know, picking up on your girlfriend's stressors or triggers. My wife's just starting to notice that, like, when she's feeling down or she's not feeling good or she's having anxiety, Scout will leave me and go over and, like, put his head on her lap and pretty much make her pet him. And, like, hey, I got this. You know? And then it's been about a month ago, one of the guys in my club, his son died. 21 or 23, somewhere in there. And we went down to the clubhouse, or down to the funeral home, rather. And as soon as we walked in, Scout walked over, sat on his foot, and leaned hard into this guy's leg and was, like, there for him. He wasn't there for me at the time because this guy was grieving so hard.
Yeah.
And the guy just instinctively reached down and started petting Scout.
Which releases the oxytocin and endorphins. Right. And, yeah.
The dogs pick up on who needs it the most. You know, even though Scout's my service dog, that guy needed more help than I did at that time.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, when Skeeter does that, another veteran who uses a service dog, she coined the phrase ministers. Her dog ministers to other veterans. And I said, I'm stealing that. When Skeeter does that, when he picks up on somebody else and I'm in a good place, and he always looks at me and checks.
Yo, absolutely.
You know, I say, go do your job. You know, he's trained to work, to pick up with that empathy, that empathetic nature he's got, and go help the person that needs him. And he picks those people. He knows the ones. Every time, never misses. He also never fails to find the veteran, if there's a veteran, in the Walmart. Skeeter finds him. Every time. I've met Korean War veterans, World War II veterans, Vietnam veterans, Desert Storm veterans, OEF, OIF veterans, in between Cold War veterans, because Skeeter was like, oh, hey, that guy, Dad, we got to go talk to him.
He just knows.
You know, when the big dog says, we need to go this way, and he means it, it doesn't matter how trained he is, we go that way.
it's funny.
But yeah, like we were talking about, it's, you know, not every day is a good day. And we do our best to be ambassadors, absolutely. But some days we just can't. I get real frustrated with the attitude that I see a lot in the general public, that the dog's there for their entertainment. Oh, look, a dog. Let's go pet him. And they don't seem to understand, no, that dog's there to help their handler. That person has a disability. Otherwise, the dog would not be there because it's not supposed to be legally. This is not a pet. This is a service right. dog. And there's a difference. Yes, they're the same animal, the same breed, you know, same species. But a service dog is a working partner to their disabled handler. And teaching that to people, I think, is that's something I'm still working on finding the words to describe, where it's simple to understand.
It's difficult because there's some people that we can educate pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that we've got to break down and be just a complete asshole to. There's no other way to say it. I mean, they just aren't going to get what we're saying until we pretty much snap.
Yeah. Oh, I've gotten to the point where I've told someone, look, he has a right to be here with me by federal law. If you don't like it, you can go vote, and walked off. I mean, I do my best not to cuss at people in public, but I might have dropped a few F-bombs. I've gone full first-class petty officer, you know, departmental right. LPO on people and giving them the stare. And
I try to kill them with kindness first, but if that doesn't absolutely. Work, then we'll get back into the military terminology.
Yeah. Well, you know, and kids, I give a little leeway. They don't always know. And so most often with children, it's a teaching moment. And so I do my best to take advantage of that and teach to the best of my ability. I also give veterans, especially the older guys and ladies, a pass. You know, if you're in your 70s and you just walk up and start talking to Skeeter, most of the time I'm really not going to have a problem with it. You know, those old World War II guys, when we run across them, I feel it's an honor just to be able to talk to them for a few minutes. So if they want to pet my dog and I'm doing well, absolutely, by all means. You know.
See,
and he loves
it. Scout will duck and dodge most of the time. Mm-hmm. And if you keep coming at him, then I'm going to have a problem. And most people around me that see it, they're going to be like, hey, that dog doesn't want you to pet him. Leave him alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but with little kids, you've seen my stickers. I think I sent you a couple. I made those up for kids. You know, it's what better way to educate than through something kids love? They love stickers.
Here,
go to my page. And that's why I keep my page mostly kid friendly. Mm-hmm. You know, every once in a while we do put something out there that, but at least PG-13 and, you know, below.
Yeah.
But, you know, instead of you pet my dog, how about this sticker? And maybe you and your mom go home and take a look, you know, see what service dogs are all about.
Yeah. I, you know, I was incredibly socially isolated before Skeeter. And so greeting people appropriately is one of the tasks I trained him to help me overcome social isolation. And so I kind of set myself up in a way for the ambassadorship role right at the start. But Skeeter's extremely friendly, extremely gregarious. He loves people. And I certainly couldn't tell him, no, you can't do something you enjoy. But I did teach him when it is appropriate to greet. The person will say, may I please pet your dog? And if they ask politely, 99% of the time, I will say, yes, go ahead. And then Skeeter has been trained. I tell him, go say hi. And he walks over to them and sits down, and they pet him. But You know, in the same way, there are people who Skeeter will not approach and will not allow me to approach. And right. I learned the hard way to listen to him when he said, no, don't go there. Which led to the seminal event, which I talk about in the book, when I learned how to trust my dog. So, you know, it goes both ways. If he says, yeah, this person's okay, can I say hi to him? I listen to him. If he says, nope, we're not talking to that person, keep moving, we keep moving.
Right.
Yeah.
With Scout, when, you know, I tell him to make a friend if mm-hmm. somebody asks. And I usually hand him a treat if they're a male. Mm-hmm. Scout, I got him in the shelter. He is abused by a heavyset male in a wheelchair. So that took a while to get him used to being around wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So if you were to come and meet Scout, it might take him a minute to get used to you because you're a man. So, mm-hmm. you know, I bribe him with a treat. He sits, he'll give you paw. But females, not a problem. He'll sit, you know, I say make a friend, he'll sit, he'll give you paw. Little kids, same way. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. that's his introduction is, you know, make a friend.
Yeah.
But he's also trained that I keep a vest on him all the time while he's at work.
Mm-hmm.
When he's in work mode, I call it the switch dog.
Yeah.
When his vest comes off, he can be a dog. He knows he's no longer working. Mm-hmm. So right now he's running around the house chasing Baxter and Sadie and just carrying on. But when the vest goes on, he knows it's no longer game time. It's 100%. I want the best out of you.
Yeah. I didn't use a vest for many years with Skeeter. There was a couple of reasons for that, but the main reason was I didn't have to. It's not required by law.
Right.
And then I had a really bad experience at the National Cherry Festival in Traverse City, Michigan. And just 30 or 40 people just walked up and started petting him without even asking. And I thought, good God, this is ridiculous. I've got to do something. So I ordered my first vest. And I still, you know, I've moved to the South now. And the heat, it depends on the temperature, honestly, whether or not he's wearing a vest or not. Because in the, you know, 75, 80 degrees and above, it's just too hot to compress
right.
his fur, which would just lock the heat in and would cause an injury to him. And there are days when I wish I'd put the vest on him, but I know that it would hurt him if I did because of the temperature, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And we got to take care of him. It's, I got two different vests for Scout. Like, I just changed over to his fall winter vest, you know, and then if it gets too cold, I'll put some kind of jacket or hoodie on him, and then the boots come out in the winter. But
yeah,
you know, he carries two packs on his vest because the medical equipment, the EpiPens. You know,
yeah.
As much as I walk into something, he's got to carry the clotting aid. That's his job.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the breed of your service dog, you are another bully breed handler. Scout, Scout is a, what would be considered a pit bull by ignorant people.
Right. Yeah, he's so ferocious and mean, he's bitten a priest and...
The misconceptions out there are shocking. I mean, I was reading commentary on a post celebrating the fact that Roxy, the PTSD service dog, an American Staffordshire Terrier, just won the Hero Dogs Award, the National Humane Hero Dogs Award, which is awesome.
That is so awesome. I am so excited for those two.
Oh, yeah. But the comments on the post were so horribly ignorant about quote-unquote pit bulls. And I just wanted to gouge my own eyes out. Unreal how people think about these dogs. And you know, when it comes right down to it, why do pit bulls have such a bad reputation? Where do you find the most pit bulls?
They're all service dogs.
No. Well, there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of very successful bully breed pit bulls. But, you know, right. where you find the most quote-unquote pit bull-type dogs are in areas with depressed economies and usually very dense population. And these dogs were over-proliferated, easy to get and cheap, and untrained. So they bit a lot of people.
Yeah, and back was it mid to late 80s when they were doing all that dog fighting?
Yeah, yeah.
That's when the pit really got a bad rep. Them and the Rottweilers.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? The dogs were just doing what they were trained to do. People don't realize that. It's not the dog's fault.
Baxter, this little Jack Russell Beagle, my wife's.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a ferocious little prick if we trained him to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, he would be worse than any pit bull. It just depends on the trainer.
Mm-hmm. And the argument is, well, it's a bigger dog, so its bite does more damage. No, that's not really true. Most dog bites from dogs that are not trained to be aggressive are usually fear or pain that causes the bite. And those kind of bites, I've suffered a few, are usually one snap and done. And yep. don't break bones. Now, I've been bitten. I have the end of my right thumb was almost completely cut off by Skeeter's grandpa when I got my thumb in the wrong place, breaking up a fight between Skeeter's grandpa and Skeeter's dad.
Those are big dog jaws right there.
I was in between 200-plus pound Malamutes trying to hold them apart. I got bit, but that comes with the territory when you're breeding dogs and you're dealing with these large dogs. You know, I don't blame the dog in any way, shape, or form. It was my dumb fault for putting my thumb in the wrong place. But I make that point to say that bite was not a typical bite. I was breaking up a dog fight. I was right in the middle of it. It was my fault. But most bites are fear bites or pain bites, and it doesn't matter what size the dog is. Those bites are almost always one snap and done. And doesn't matter the size of the dog, they have these teeth called incisors that cause puncture wounds. And it's the dogs that are either severely abused or trained to be aggressive that are the most that do the most damage when they bite. But you know what breed of dogs statistically bites the most?
Those little yappers.
Dachshunds are most likely to bite you.
And those dachshunds, I've watched them take on German shepherds and seen German shepherds run from them.
Mhm. They don't stop.
No, they're dachshunds are hunting dogs.
Yeah. And they were bred to have aggression.
Right.
They were bred to go kill things their size or even a little bit bigger in burrows.
And all pit bull owners, well, good pit bull owners would know that, you know, pit bulls were bred as a babysitter to watch babies, mm-hmm. like human babies.
Mm-hmm.
So, then, yeah.
And then, like you said, in the late 70s and 80s, they were abused and trained to be aggressive. Like it sounds like Baxter's being.
Yeah, that's him. Him and Scouter playing tug of war with a rope.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. But yeah, the bully breeds, I think it's such a great opportunity for ambassadorship for Justin, for veterans, for PTSD service dogs, and for bully breed service dogs. I can't tell you how excited I am for the opportunity he's got to really make some positive educational changes in the media environment. You know, I think it's really great.
Oh yeah, I was ecstatic that they took that. You know, oh yeah, and they're going to do fantastic.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. In fact, I just subscribe to his YouTube channel. Now, when this show airs, his interview will have already aired with me, and he will have already gone to Hollywood. But I just subscribed to his YouTube channel today because he said he was going to be posting videos of his and Roxy's adventures in Hollywood this week, which is the week we're recording this. So I'm pretty excited to see that he's going to do that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's got a great sense of humor. So I'm looking forward to seeing some pretty funny stuff from Roxy in Hollywood. All righty. Well, Scav, where can we find you and Scout online?
Well, you can find us at the Scav and Scout Chronicles on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we kind of hide and keep to ourselves.
Okay. Okay.
And you'll run into us just about anywhere in the country because I travel.
Okay.
Usually on the East Coast. You'll see me post where I'm going to be. I'm usually in Virginia twice a year. And, mm-hmm. I'm going to be headed up to Iowa next June. I'll be down in Myrtle sometime in June.
Oh, hey, when you come through North Carolina, let me know.
Oh, you know I will, because I'll be stopping down there in Lexington somewhere.
Well, I happen to live in Lexington, so hey.
I know you do.
We have a little lunch or something.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio. WDVR. I've been talking with Scav R. Kahlo, handler of Scout, the PTSD hearing, and many other functions, service dog, and owner of the page, the Scav and Scout Chronicles. Before we go, I have to let you know that you can find a copy of my book, PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog, at booklocker.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. Thanks for listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.